Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang.
So why, I know why diagnosis matters, but why does diagnosis matter to you?
That's a great question. So diagnosis matters to me, especially as a naturopath, but in general, because oftentimes people will come to see naturopaths for fertility, for menstrual cycle disorders, and they think that we don't need to know the underlying cause and that we can just fix it with some supplements and some exercise and some meditation and some dietary changes. But even knowing the proper supplements, exercise, dietary changes to recommend requires having an understanding of the diagnosis. So once you've gotten to that place where you are not getting pregnant as quickly as you would like to, or you have fallen outside of these guidelines that we've talked about, it's time to get a diagnosis. And we can talk a lot about all the specifics of the different diagnoses, but let's just go into some of the broad strokes right now.
Well, and so, let me point out too, for a second here, that you know what? Some infertility is actually structural.
Yep.
Some is hormonal.
Yep.
And some is functional, right? Like, so
yes,
for structural infertility, probably the only thing that's going to actually help is surgery.
Yes.
Right. And there is no pill for that, right? Surgery, absolutely. Surgery. We're not going to really see a difference with naturopathic care. And so it makes what we do, a time waster, right? And that's precious time in this instance, because you need that window.
Yes.
And also, if it's epigenetic, right? So something like MTHFR, which is what I'm dealing with, it's a very different picture than if it's hormonal. And there's a lot of overlap, but we need to treat those two things very, very differently, right?
Absolutely.
And again, we don't want to waste time, right? This is a time-sensitive issue. It's very much like treating cancer, honestly, right?
Yeah.
Because with cancer treatment, the treatment has to outpace the growth, and that's the entire goal. If treatment lags because you're getting the wrong treatment, that's kind of a bad thing. So
totally. That's a great point and totally true. Absolutely true. Right. And every month we waste after that 6 months or a year is increasing the time to baby in arms, which is what the couple is wanting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say on Instagram, I have people reach out to me at least once a week asking me if I can cure infertility related to tubal blockages. So it's a really good point.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, I can't. I can support the other aspects of fertility if those are part of it, but I can't get an egg to a sperm if there's a blockage.
Right. Yeah. It just won't go. It just won't go.
Mm-hmm. So the statistics are that female factor infertility is about 37% of infertile couples in developed countries. Male factor infertility is 8%. And both male and female factor infertility is 35%. And we're going to focus mostly on female factor infertility, but not entirely. Mm-hmm. And I always like to point out to couples, because almost always it's the woman reaching out once the couple hasn't conceived. And the man, the sperm donor, is not necessarily wanting to get a diagnosis or get a workup. And the woman is. But we have to remember that combined fertility is really important.
Yes, absolutely. And I honestly think in any fertility prep, both parties need to go through it, right? It cannot be just one.
100%. Yes, totally. And how you were breaking it up into structural and epigenetic. And what was the third one you said?
Hormonal.
Hormonal, right. The way I break it up is ovarian causes, uterine causes. So let's kind of go through that a little bit now, if that works for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the most common identifiable female factors for infertility, which account for about 81% of female infertility, which again is why diagnosis matters. Our first category is ovarian. So we've got ovulatory disorders like PCOS, hypothyroidism, We've got oocyte aging or egg aging, and that would include premature ovarian insufficiency, which we'll go into detail later. Then we move from our ovaries to our uterus. So then in our uterus, we've got things like endometriosis, pelvic adhesions from STIs, for example, but also from endometriosis sometimes, tubal blockages, other tubal abnormalities, and then high prolactin levels.
And I want to point out here that in those ovarian disorders is something that most people don't even associate with fertility, which is low thyroid. I mean, low thyroid is so, so incredibly common. And lots of us are running around untreated, right?
Huge, yes. And it's a cause of miscarriage in the first trimester.
Absolutely.
And sometimes women will have kind of a normal or sub-hypothyroidism going on, which we'll, again, we'll go into later. But that absolutely affects time to conception. You don't
and
have to be frankly hypothyroid. Yes, very treatable. Yeah, exactly. PCOS is one of my favorite for naturopathic intervention.
Yes.
We can do so much good there.
I agree.
Endo I usually find is kind of like a combined effort between all the experts working together.
Yeah, endometriosis, you know, we have great luck balancing hormones and we can reduce the causes of new endometrial growth, but we can't always get rid of the endometrium that has already spread.
Exactly.
That's right. Huge.
And then of special note to me, because I have celiac disease, women with untreated celiac disease may have an increased frequency of reproductive abnormalities, including infertility, miscarriage, and also intrauterine growth restriction. So it's a nice overlap in natural medicine as well to work with women with a subfertility or infertility diagnosis and celiac disease, because we can make a lot of inroads as well.
Oh, so much. Yes, I completely agree. And what about couples with unexplained infertility?
That's a tough one. A lot of times people come to see me thinking that they have unexplained infertility when really they haven't gotten a proper workup.
Yeah.
But in that situation where the couple has gotten a proper workup and we really have unexplained infertility, I feel like naturopathic medicine combined with a reproductive specialist is really the gold standard in those cases, because many cases of unexplained infertility may be due to small contributions from multiple factors on both parts. So if we can improve those small contributions from both sides, then we can improve overall fertility.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually MTHFR folks, this is where we fall, right? In the unexplained infertility, because by and large, I mean, probably 90% of the practitioners that I've seen in fertility centers are still not testing on an epigenetic level, right? Like they're not looking at gene SNPs like MTHFR routinely yet. I have seen a few exceptional fertility centers that do, but for the most part, nope.
Right, exactly. And even if they have the test results in front of them, they're usually not saying that it's relevant to the fertility journey.
Right.
Is why I think this is going to be such a fun podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yes.
It's necessary.
Absolutely. Yes,
it is really necessary. Well, and you know, ironically, MTHFR has been implicated very strongly in both repeat miscarriages for men, for women, so repeat pregnancy loss, but also in infertility for men. So,
I know less about that. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Do you want to talk about recurrent pregnancy loss, since we've talked about that some?
Yeah, I think we should actually.
Okay.
I think we should.
So there are these two sides of the coin. There are these women like me who don't conceive easily. And then there are other women like you who conceive easily, but have repeat miscarriage.
Right.
And repeat miscarriage falls into the same definition of infertility that we talked about earlier. And that even if you got pregnant six times in a row when you were 36 years old, but each one of them ended in miscarriage, it's time to go see a doctor. And I usually recommend that after two miscarriages, it's time to reach out to your doctor.
Yep. I agree, especially if you're, you know, two miscarriages at 22 is a very different thing than two miscarriages at 32 or 42.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Honestly, after at 40, I would go in and see a specialist right away just to get testing done and be more focused with how you're going to go about it.
Right.
So repeat miscarriage can be genetic, like MTHFR, which I'm sure you'll go into, chromosomal abnormalities. Do you want to talk about MTHFR and repeat miscarriage right now?
Well, so for MTHFR folks, there is a really high risk of a repeat miscarriage. And research is starting to indicate that it's actually microclotting within the blood vessels that are starting to feed the placenta and the blood vessels of the placenta itself. And so there's really, really promising studies using aspirin and also a combination of aspirin and heparin to decrease the incidence of repeat miscarriage, which I love. Like, this is amazing and reasonably easy. And there's also incredible, incredible research showing the difference between using, say, the standard 5 milligrams of folic acid versus using methylated folate in us. So there's a ton we can do, and we will go into this, you know, in greater detail later. But repeat miscarriage for MTHFR folks is actually very, very treatable as well. We just need to balance methylation.
That's promising and very hopeful. And then what I see, the causes that I see the most often in my practice are uterine polyps. And a lot of women think that polyps may not be contributing, but they absolutely can. They can prevent implantation, or they can lead to recurrent miscarriage. Then there's immunologic causes like antiphospholipid syndrome. And then there's endocrine causes, like we mentioned earlier, like hypothyroidism. And then, of course, genetic issues. And then thrombophilia. And all of these, again, since we're talking about how much diagnosis matters, it's really important to not just keep doing the same thing over and over again once you've had recurrent pregnancy loss. It's time to get a workup and understand why this is happening so we can have a different outcome.
Yep. Mix it up. Not just changing positions. Come on.
Exactly.
Now.
So one of those things that I think is really important to talk about is that when a woman has had repeat miscarriage, it's really important for her and her doctor to have a plan that if the next miscarriage happens, that we can look at the fetal tissue. Mm-hmm. Because it's also really important to see what chromosomal abnormalities may be present in that fetal tissue, which will give us lots of clues as how to have a different outcome next time.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to have a plan with your partner as well. You know, I mean,
yes.
So much of fertility seems to fall on women's shoulders, but there's two people involved here. Totally. And I think for successful outcomes, especially with advancing age, both parties need to be very involved from the start, right? We cannot just assume that sperm count is all normal and sperm function and sperm motility. We also can't assume that his nutrition doesn't matter, that his state of health doesn't matter, that his everything doesn't matter. Of course it does. He's contributing half of the genetic material here.
Exactly.
That's huge, right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
So yes, bottom line, diagnosis matters.
Yes.
And I love, you know, you made a comment earlier that we don't have an infinite amount of time to do this, right? We do have a time limit. And so it really matters to actually be proactive up front and not just assume it's all going to work out.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, let's
and
wrap
if you're 21, here. Relax, take the year.
Exactly.
Yeah. It will happen.
Also, if you're 21, a word of advice, go travel, see a whole bunch of things. Don't get married right now.
Just have the baby because they're the best part.
You're not supposed to say that on camera. Okay. Okay. Let's finish here.
Kate and I busted time today because, let's face it, we like to talk. Please watch the video version in the show notes. See more of Dr. Kate at namesnd.com. That's namesnd.com. Or visit tohealthwiththat.com for myself, Dr. Amy. See you next week.